All right, folks, with that, I'll go ahead and call long range to order. If we could please get the roll taken. Here.
Senator Mike Cuff.
Excused.
Senator Ellie Boldman.
Here.
Representative Jim Hamilton.
Here.
Senator Kerry.
Here. Excused. With that, folks, we should have a quorum, be good to go. With that, I'll go ahead and turn gavel over to Senator Smith as we set up to open on House Bill 6.
Representative Hopkins, would you like to introduce your bill to us, please?
Thank you, Chairman. Members, so today we're going to be opening on House Bill 6. Won't give you such a long opener. I don't know that we're going to go over our official program overview for today, but when we're talking about House Bill 6, we're talking about the Renewable Resource Grant and Loan Program, as you've already seen with a number of the different bills programs that we've gone over. Each of these tends to be slated or aimed towards either a different type of infrastructure or a different basic intent for infrastructure in Montana, where Treasure State Endowment might be looking at safety and at health, where historic preservation is obviously looking at historic preservation. Renewable Resource Grant and Loan Program is specifically looking at, and this isn't the official language that you'll find in your Volume 6, but basically maintaining or improving a natural resource. So when you look through the projects in the bill, you will notice that a lot of them are similar. That is because Renewable Resource Grant and Loan Program primarily deals with water projects, sewer projects, irrigation projects, dam projects, handful more, but that's the basic idea of what you're looking at. You'll also see similar projects because it is not uncommon for a project that is applying for a Treasure State Endowment grant to also be applying for a Renewable Resource Grant and Loan grant. Grant awards cap out at $125,000. I believe most of the awards that you will see in your current iteration is $125,000. They can technically be a little bit less. You might see $100,000 or $115,000 in there somewhere, but that is the basic idea, I believe. And Kathy can correct me if I'm wrong on this. It's a little bit early. I'm having one of those mornings. But I think cash funding for the program sits for the biennium at $9.2 million, funding down to project line 74 out of 76. All of that might have been completely incorrect, but I think it's fairly close. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd go ahead and return House Bill 6 to the tender loving care of the Long Range Planning Committee and have us get moving towards our projects for the day.
Thank you, Representative. And so are we ready for testimony? We want to have the proponents.
Mr. Chairman, I think if we could interrupt you, Lindsay Volpe from the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation is just gonna say a couple words about the program and I believe about the plan going forward, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Hopkins, members of the committee. Am I coming through okay?
Coming through just fine.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Lindsay, spelled L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, V as in Victor, O-L, P as in Peter, E, and I manage a renewable resource grant loan program at the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. The RRGL program is in House Bill 6 and in House Bill 14. And I would like to thank the bill sponsor for opening House Bill 6 and also House Bill 14 to the committee. The purpose of this program is to offer funding for projects that conserve, manage, develop, and preserve renewable resources to provide economic and other benefits to the state's natural heritage. The Department of Natural Resources and Conservation administers the program, which is provided for in Title 85, Chapter 1, Part 6 of the Montana Code Annotated. Governmental entities may apply to the program for resource-related projects. Eligible projects may include irrigation system rehabilitation, stream restoration, watershed management, water and sewer projects, renewable energy and resource assistance assessment projects. Project funding requests are limited to $125,000 per project. And like Representative Hawkins said, they can be less. It's just that's the limit we have for the funding for the projects. So Volume 6 of the Governor's 2021 Biennium Executive Budget contains the complete project evaluations and recommendations for all projects. You should have a copy of the budget book or have access to it through your virtual binders. And I think we discussed a little earlier, Kathy, that this is available to the committee. Is that correct? Okay. So all the information you might have, so all the questions you might have on the program are found in here, and other project information that we will go over in length tomorrow when we introduce the scope of our program and our funding and a little bit about our ranking and projects. So this morning we'll just go over this little introduction and then continue with our discussion tomorrow. So our RDL projects are evaluated by staff and contracted consultants to the degree to which they benefit renewable resources. Many of the applications also benefit public health and safety and infrastructure and have applied to the TSEP program for funding. RGL funding can fit into a project budget to cover items prior to meeting TSEP startup conditions or cover items that are not eligible through their program. Together, our programs bring communities closer to stable public health conditions and safety needed to economically develop and preserve resources. The RRGL program accepted 76 applications totaling over $9.2 million in funding requests. 30 of these projects have also requested funding from the TSEP program. Project grant awards included in House Bill 6 are requesting $4.5 million in funding for project applications. And project grant awards in House Bill 14 are requesting over $4.72 million in funding for project applications. You will hear projects which apply to both programs for funding today and tomorrow. This application cycle, the RGL program, was a little different than in the past. The application cycle was extended until June 1st instead of May 15th to accommodate preparation and coordination of application materials during the pandemic. These projects are essential to community and economic stability, and our applicants work through the changes in routine and accessibility to reach our deadlines. I want to thank all our applicants for the planning and coordination efforts to bring their projects to you in House Bill 6 and 14 for funding consideration. As a side note, these programs represent the future of hardworking Montanans, and their project will be the economic engines to carry these communities and districts through this period of recovery. With that, TSEP will introduce our shared projects today and tomorrow. The RGL program overview and summary will be presented to you at the conclusion of the shared projects tomorrow. You can see from your schedules that next Monday and Tuesday, we will continue the RGL projects in House Bill 6 and 14 by project type. So we'll start with wastewater, go through dams and restoration, irrigation projects, and then we will wrap up with the irrigation projects. So thank you. And I will be available for any questions.
Thank you. Who do we have up next?
Mr. Chairman, if you're willing, we can start right into the projects if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you, Rachel.
So today we're going to be talking about projects that have both TSEP and RRGL funding, and that we're going to run through them in the order of their TSEP rank. So first up is Butte Silver Bow. This project ranked number 1 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 12 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 8 of the TSEP handout and page 32 of the RRGL handout. This project will rehabilitate the existing dam that impounds water for the city's Basin Creek drinking water source. The DNRC Dam Safety Program indicated that if the dam fails, significant loss of life and property damage will occur. Butte is requesting $500,000 from TSEP, and the total project cost is approximately $2 million. Mr. Chairman, Jim Keenan would like to testify virtually today on behalf of Butte.
Okay, thank you. Is Jim there?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jim Keenan, J-I-M-K-E-E-N-A-N, and I'm the chief water operator for the Butte Silver Bow Water Utility. I'm here today representing the TSEP and RRG grant applications that will assist in the rehabilitation of Basin Creek Dam Number 1, which is owned and operated by the City and County of Butte Silver Bow and located approximately 9 miles south of Butte. The primary function of Basin Creek Dam is to store water at the Basin Creek Reservoir for municipal water supply. The dam provides water to the recently constructed Basin Creek Water Treatment Plant on a gravity system, which minimizes the need to pump and significantly reduces cost. Since the water treatment plant became operational in 2017, Butte Silver Bow has drawn approximately 60% of the city's water supply from Basin Creek Reservoir. Basin Creek Dam was initially constructed in 1897 and is 123 years old. The dam has been modified numerous times since the original construction. The most significant modification occurred in 1913 when the dam was raised 13 feet with a mass concrete section placed on top of the original curved masonry granite block dam. Notably, in the past several years, deterioration of this top 13 feet on portions of the upstream dam face and parapet wall have progressed to the point of requiring repairs and rehabilitation. Basin Creek Dam is classified as a high hazard dam by the state of Montana and must be operated under the provisions of an operating permit. The most recent operating permit renewal, which occurred in December of 2019, was issued with the condition that Butte Silver Bow hire a concrete dam expert to determine the extent of the deterioration and evaluate the impacts of this deterioration on the structural stability of the dam. The findings from this work concluded that the concrete portion of the dam shows evidence of severe freeze-thaw damage and does not satisfy rotational or sliding stability requirements for the probable maximum flood. This project will remove the deteriorated concrete on the upstream face of the dam and replace it with modern concrete designed to resist freeze-thaw damage. Additionally, an anchorage system will be installed to ensure dam stability during probable maximum flood events. Structurally sound concrete on the dam face is an essential component of a safe and functioning dam system. If a failure were to occur due to poor concrete condition, significant flooding would result, which threatens public safety and would have grave economic consequences for the Butte region. Maintaining the operational condition of the dam in good working order is of vital importance to the public health and safety of the community, in addition to serving the livelihoods of residents and businesses who depend on this infrastructure. Since 1995, Butte Silver Bow has been able to leverage approximately $1.9 million in TSEP funding to complete over $36.6 million in critical water and wastewater projects that may not have been possible otherwise. Butte Silver Bow appreciates the TSEP and RRGL programs and asks for your support. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else out there that wants to talk on the project?
Yes, we do. We have J.P. Gallagher.
Okay. Go ahead, J.P.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, my name is J.P. Gallagher, Chief Executive of the City and County Government of Butte Silver Bow. I'm here today to talk as a proponent representing the TSEP and our RRG grant applications that will assist in the rehabilitation of the Basin Creek Dam Number 1. I'd like to add additional testimony to what Mr. Jim Keenan did. It is well known that Butte is a mining city. For over 150 years, ore has been pulled out of the Butte Hill. One of the first environmental casualties of mining activity was the contamination of Butte's groundwater. For over 130 years, Butte has been importing clean water for our municipal use. Basin Creek is our best and most economical source of water for the community, and Basin Creek Dam number one is the backbone of that system. If we cannot restore the concrete portion of the dam, then Basin Creek Reservoir would lose nearly half of its holding capacity, and the throughput of Basin Creek water treatment plant would decrease roughly 7 million gallons per day down to perhaps 2 million gallons per day. If that were to happen, the 5 million gallon per day difference would have to come from the Big Hole River, nearly 22 miles away from Butte. Treatment and pumping costs from the Big Hole water are considerably greater than the Basin Creek water. This draws from the Big Hole would also leave less water for the river for agricultural users, recreational users, and of course, aquatic life. Hopefully the rehabilitated Basin Creek Dam number one will last us for another 120 years. Thank you for your consideration for this crucial project. And I'd be available for any questions afterwards as well.
Thank you, JP. They started early. Do we have an additional proponent?
There are no other hands raised.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any opponents?
There are no hands raised.
Thank you. Any informational?
There are no other hands raised for that either.
Okay, thank you. Any additional discussion in the committee? Seeing none, I think we're ready to move to the next project.
Mr. Chairman, the next project is for the city of Thompson Falls. This project ranked number 2 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 11 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 9 of the TSEP handout and page 31 of the RRGL handout. The project is for construction of a sewage collection system and is the third of 4 phases. The TSEP construction grant request is $750,000. The total project cost is about $7 million. And with that, if we have anybody that wants to provide testimony, I guess I would also encourage throughout the day, if Lindsay at DNRC has any comments, we would encourage that. If not, I believe the mayor of Thompson Falls should be on the line somewhere.
Thank you. Our next person.
We do have the mayor.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. Well, my name is Mark Sheets. I'm mayor of Thompson Falls, and on behalf of the city of Thompson Falls, I'd like to thank you for looking at this project. City of Thompson Falls has approximately 1,370 people, and we're located on the Clark Fork River. We've been working hard and being aggressive, trying to update both our water and our wastewater systems. Approximately 80% of our town is not serviced by a wastewater system, and it's primarily residential areas that are in there. The existing sewer system that we have in the lower part of town, which serves about 20%, was built in 1948, and we've been working hard to get it upgraded and taken care of. One of the problems that we have is lot sizes are very small and not really set up for any type of approved septic. Most of them are very substandard systems that are there, consisting of everything from a cesspool to, a septic tank with a dry well attached off of that. and on it, the amount of the untreated effluent going into the ground has been quite tremendous. Onto this, we are currently starting on phase one and phase two. Pre-work meeting actually for that is today. And we are moving on to phase three, trying to get the city wastewater system, total in a very short period of time if possible. On here, what we're looking for, of course, are, the TSEP grant for $750,000 and the RRGL grant for $125,000. These are both integral parts of our funding package trying to put together to move on with phase three. Phase three, a lot of part of the town is an older part of town, and with that, it had failing systems in the past. Also, the soils in the area have a heavy clay layer into them, so it does make it very challenging for any type of septic to place into there. And with the failures and the problems that we've had, again, it's a real health and safety concern for this. Our city is pretty low income. Our median income is right around $30,600. And on to that, we know that this is going to be a real strain for a lot of our people because of the increase in wastewater rates. And by getting these grants, it'll help to reduce that, or hopefully try to keep that into a more manageable level for our population on here, because they currently have, of course, no wastewater costs, and this will then add extra onto their monthly billings and everything from there. If we don't get either of these grant funding opportunities, then to carry forward, we'd have to, again, increase rates to be able to try to keep moving with this, keep it going. On it, I'd like to, thank you very much again. And on behalf of the city of Thompson Falls, I'd like you to please support Bill 6 and 11. And this would help us provide resources so that our town would be able to keep going through an aggressive manner and get our wastewater system taken care of. If you have any questions, I'd be very happy to answer them. And Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'd like to thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Additional proponents on the project?
There are no other hands raised.
Thank you. Do we have any opponents?
No hands raised.
Do we have any informational witnesses?
No hands raised.
Thank you. Discussion on the project in the committee? Seeing no discussion, I think we're ready to move to the next project.
Okay, next up is the Fort Smith Water and Sewer District. This project ranked number 4 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 5 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 11 of the TSEP handout and page 25 of the RRGL handout. The project will construct a new collection system, sewage lagoons, and spray irrigation to replace the undersized and leaking facilities that have resulted in nitrogen and coliform contamination in nearby surface water. Fort Smith is requesting $750,000 from TSEP with a total project cost of $4.4 million. Mr. Chairman, I believe Chris Hayes or John Weatherby would like to testify virtually today on behalf of Fort Smith.
Okay, thank you. And do we have Chris Hayes there? Is he going to be our first proponent?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Hayes with Robert Petchian Associates, the engineer for the project. I'm here today representing the Fort Smith Water and Sewer District, and here with me are John Weatherby and Roy Ballou, board members for the district. The towns of Fort Smith and Yellowtail are located near the Yellowtail Dam on the Bighorn River and are separated by Highway 313. Each town has their own wastewater system, and the district was formed to operate both towns' water and wastewater systems. The district is surrounded by the Crow Reservation, and there is limited private and public land available for improvements. Both sewer systems were installed in 1961 and have undersized sewer mains with significant leakage and breaks. Manholes are in poor condition with no bottoms or ladders. Fort Smith has eroding steel train cars that act as septic tanks. The drain field has trees growing over it, causing root intrusion to the laterals, and is located on leased tribal property. Yellowtail has no standing water in their treatment lagoon due to leaks. The sewer systems do not meet current Montana Department of Environmental Quality design standards. The two systems are failing and have reached the end of their useful life. The Bighorn River flows directly downstream of the wastewater systems, and untreated wastewater from these leaking systems has the potential to contaminate not only surrounding groundwater, but this pristine trout fishing stream. The river is a major source of tourism and recreation for the area, and this natural resource must be preserved. Project improvements include new sewer mains for Yellowtail and a portion of Fort Smith, a centralized lift station, combined wastewater treatment system with facultative lagoon for land application by spray irrigation. The Fort Smith Water and Sewer District is fully committed to upgrading the sewer system. They have purchased land for the treatment site and are aggressively building the district's sewer reserve account. Cost for the project is $4.45 million, which is extremely expensive for this small community. The district is seeking grant funds from the Treasure State Endowment Program for $750,000 and from the DNRC RRGL program for $125,000. Sewer rates are estimated to increase by $50 to $80 per month, resulting in a final monthly sewer rates of $76 to $106. Without grant funding, this project may not be able to move forward and the two systems would continue to deteriorate. The project is two-phased due to the high cost of the needed improvements. Phase two will replace the remainder of the sewer, Fort Smith sewer mains. The Fort Smith Water and Sewer District greatly appreciates your consideration on House Bill 6 and 11 to reduce the financial burden on the residents of the district. Thank you for your time. I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chris. Do we have additional people that would like to speak in support of the project?
Yes, we have John Weatherby.
Okay, John, go ahead. John, do you have your microphone turned on?
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. My only comment I have is I bought my property in 2008 in Fort Smith, and I was told then that the sewer system was being studied and would probably be replaced within a year or two. So 13 years later, we're still kicking the can down the road. So I feel personally that something needs to be done and done soon. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Do we have additional people that would like to testify in support of the project?
There are no other hands raised.
Thank you. Do we have any opposition to the project?
There are no other hands raised.
Informational witnesses?
No other hands raised.
Thank you. Discussion from the committee? Seeing no discussion, do we have another project ready to go?
We do. Mr. Chairman, next up is the Lockwood Water and Sewer District. It's a wastewater project. This project ranked number 6 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 8 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 13 of the TSEP handout and page 28 of the RRGL handout. The project is for construction of a sewage collection system and is phase 3A of 4 The total project cost is about $10.7 million, and I believe we have Mike from the district available to provide testimony.
Is Mike coming back?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mike, last name A-R-I-Z-T-I-A. I'm here today to represent the Lockwood Water and Sewer District. Our project is, as mentioned before, it's the installation of sewer mains and lift station. This is currently the third phase of this project, which is a continuation of the installation of the public water system planned to service the entire Lockwood community. The project will provide service to 461 additional properties, installation of over 35,000 feet of sewer line, 120 manholes, and one or more lift stations. We'll work on optimizing the project to potentially reduce any additional requirement for lift station. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the legislature and the state for their strong support for this project to date. It's been important for the district and Montana DEQ to see the community receive this central sewer system. Planning for this sewer project began in the 90s. Lockwood was previously the largest unsewered community in Montana, producing 500,000 gallons per day of wastewater generated and discharged into drain fields. At the time and currently in certain areas, they're failing drain fields with no room for replacements. This requires some non-standard repairs for existing systems. A lot of the lots are smaller lots, which have potentially unsuitable soils for replacement drain fields. In addition, there's high nitrate. This causes higher nitrates in the groundwater and concerns for further contamination. Previous projects, the phase one project consisted of the installation of main trunk lines sized to accommodate flows for the entire Lockwood service area. Services were provided to a majority of the commercial industrial users. Construction of the main sewer lift station, which sends all the flows to the city of Billings for treatment. This project, the first project, was sized to accommodate the future service area to the entire community. And as part of that, when phase one went in, we received $6.7 million in STAG grants to oversize the system to accommodate full build out. Phase two consisted of the installation of the sewer mains into mostly residential properties. Some of the current challenges we face with the phase three and future phases have to do with lower density, larger residential lots, which significantly increase the cost of construction per connection by requiring more sewer line to service fewer properties. This also causes the cost of the project to spread across fewer properties, resulting in a higher cost or assessment per property. The district will, during planning and construction, continue to look at ways to reduce costs and maximize opportunities for savings. In the past, we have been able to redesign portions of the sewer lines in the field and partner with other agencies such as Yellowstone County on road restoration during the projects. With this project and past projects, the need for grant funding is critical. Any funding we are able to receive allows us the ability to continue with the installation of the public sewer, reduce the financial burden on our residents of Lockwood, and protect the community from health and sanitation issues caused by failing septic systems, and protect our groundwater. In addition to the RGL and TSEP funding, we will continue to look for additional funding opportunities to help offset project costs. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to bring our project before you today and for your consideration. And I will take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have additional opponents for the project that would like to speak on it?
We have a Ray Beck.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Ray.
Members of the committee.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, it said I was muted, so. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ray Beck, B-E-C-K. I represent the Yellowstone Soil and Water Conservation District out of Billings. The Yellowstone Conservation District would like to go on record as supporting this project. They feel it's an important project for human health, but also a very important project for the natural resources, including the Yellowstone River. So please support this project, and thank you.
Thank you. We have additional.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Ray Beck. Those of you who have been in the committee for a while may remember Ray. He was associated with the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation for many, many years, and he retired a few years back, and good to see you, Ray.
Thank you, Kathy.
Even though I can't really see you.
Additional proponents for the project?
There are no other hands raised.
Thank you. Do we have any opponents?
No hands raised.
Informational witnesses?
No hands raised.
Discussion from the committee? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Senator. I'm not sure exactly who this question would be for, but we could try Mike, and if that doesn't work, maybe Kathy could answer it. Mr. Chair and Mr. Arizia, is that how you say that?
Arizia, yes, thank you.
Arizia, thank you. We're looking at an information page that I believe comes out of your application, and one of the factors on there is a rate proposed with TCEP assistance and then a rate without TCEP assistance. And are you familiar with what I'm talking about here?
I am.
So it shows in here that the with assistance, roughly $166 monthly, and without, $174 a month. Seems like a very small difference, given that the TCEP money would be, in this case, $875,000. I guess I'm not picking on your project, but just wondering, for saving $9 a month, we're putting an awful lot of money in. So could you talk a little bit about that?
So I will. That dollar amount for the assessment covers the entire project. For instance, the phase two project, we ended up, after the project was done, minus grants and district funding, we ended up having $2-3 million loans for the project. The loan spans, one of them is a 20-year loan, and the other one's a 30-year loan. So that monthly fee over that 20 or 30 years is a significant dollar amount, even though on the face it doesn't appear to be.
Follow up. Mr. Chair and Mike, so maybe part of my question is if you were not awarded the money from the TCEP or the RRGL, the difference to a ratepayer in that area wouldn't be that the project's not done, I assume. It would be this $9 difference.
And I would say that's based on these estimates. I would say that, like I said, over this is a monthly cost. So you can see with grants, it's about, we'll just round it to $100 a year annual, over 20 to 30 years can be, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 more over the life of the project for the customers. One of the big things is that the upfront cost that ended up having to be paid, without that TCEP money would have to be covered through loans initially, Does that answer your question?
Follow up.
A follow up.
Mr. Chair and Mike, you're getting really close here. I think I'm getting an understanding. So if you didn't have the TSEP and RRGL money, then you'd have to get more maybe from SRF or some other source, which would lead to that rate without the the TSEP money assistance. So we would be talking about roughly $100 a year for the next 20 or 30 years.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Seeing none, I think we're ready to move to the next project.
Mr. Chairman, the next project is the Phillips County Buffalo Trail Water District. This project ranked number 7 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and was not funded for RRGL. Information can be found on page 14 of the TSEP handout and page 95 of the RRGL handout. The purpose of this project is to provide a new water source for the residents of the Buffalo Trail Water District. The TSEP grant request is $200,000. The total project cost is $659,000. And I believe we have Don Vogel and maybe some others to provide testimony.
Excellent. Do we have anybody looking to testify on the project?
We have Don Vogel here.
Excellent. Don, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can indeed.
Can you hear me?
We can indeed. Can you hear us?
Yes. Thank you.
Excellent.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify about our important project for the community of the Buffalo Trail Water District. We are located in Phillips County. For the record, my name is Don Vogel, V-O-E-G-E-L. I am the chairman of the board of directors for the district. Our district is located immediately adjacent to the Nelson Reservoir and Sleeping Buffalo Hot Springs Resort and currently shares the old well and water system that supplies the resort. The age, condition, health concerns, and the shared maintenance issues with the current water system and well are a serious concern for the district. We seek to build a separate community system for our residential users that is compliant with all state regulations. Both the TSIP and the RRGL grants will greatly assist the district in developing a much needed new community water well system that includes drilling a new well with a backup, a buried storage tank, a pump housing building, chlorination system, backup generator, some new piping, and disconnection from the old resort system. There are several issues associated with this current water system and well that will be remedied with this project. The issues are the existing well is over 62 years old, built in 1959, and is operating beyond its useful life. The older and poorly maintained well and distribution system for the resort is a serious public risk for the district users. The piping system serving the resort experiences more and more failures and pipe ruptures, causing water losses and costly repairs. The district is at a risk of losing its only water source as the existing well is on the Bureau of Reclamation land and is not granted long-term use of this well. The Bureau of Reclamation has given a letter stating a new source needs to be found within 5 years. The current system has received multiple violation letters in the last 10 years, and DEQ is recommending that the issues are remedied with a new community well. The resort water system is currently classified by DEQ as a transient non-water, non-community water system. The district needs to upgrade to be a community water system, which will better protect our residents both from acute and chronic contaminants. Our subdivision needs a single system with a common well under full district management. In recent years, several individual wells have been attempted on lots and several came up dry. So a single well or single community well is the answer. There is currently no emergency backup power provided. On behalf of the Buffalo Trail District and Phillips County, who sponsors the project, we are greatly appreciate the TSEP and the DNRC grant program consideration. Please note that we have scored high for TSEP, ranking with the stated health and safety concerns and have a viable project. Regarding the RRGL grant ranking, we have recently been in touch with the DNRC staff and understand that the water rights are a concern for allocating funding. Given the subdivision is located on the Fort Belknap compact closure, DNRC is willing to consider the project pre-development project phase to show that the water rights can be attained. This phase would include a hydrogeologic study to site the wells, verify water rights, and verify actual water use. The existing system does not have a flow monitor, so very conservative demand factors were used to predict water demands. We believe there is a path forward with water rights and believe we can demonstrate exempt well status and also the use of water conservation and management methods. A copy of meeting notes with discussions with DNRC were uploaded to the hearing file. The project includes a budget for pre-development phase, which will be the first thing done on the project starting as early as this summer. We ask that you seriously consider funding for the project with a DNRC grant so we can move forward with the project and the initial pre-development phase to confirm a viable well site and water rights. We have board support from our district residents who have provided letters of support for this project. These grants are critical to fund the project and allow us to move forward. Without these grants, it is simply too costly to proceed and meet all the latest regulations. Thank you for your consideration. I'm available for comment.
Well, thank you very much for coming to speak with us here today. Really fast, I don't see anybody else's hands up to testify on the project. Do we have any questions from members of the committee before I got one myself, Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Kinetarud, but before I start into the question, I wanted to say to Mr. Vogel, thank you for explaining why there may be an issue with the RRGL versus the TSEP. It was one part of my question. So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Kinetarud, the rest of my question would be, are there other issues with the RRGL grant application besides the water right issue that would make it not be funded when it was so high on the TSEP list?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I probably should defer that to DNRC. If Lindsay could, if she would be willing to address that question.
Refer that back over to Lindsay. Lindsay, are you with us? There you go.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hamilton, I'm ready. So we've had a lot of discussion with the applicant and their engineer on the evaluation of this application. And as mentioned, there was a high ranking in TSEP and a non-funding for RG. Typically, you see some projects score pretty close together for both programs. So you'll see them coming in with strong public health and safety for TSEP, strong resource benefits for RRG. And we'll go into our ranking when we discuss our program tomorrow, and hopefully that helps with this discussion. So this project did have high TSEP for public health and safety, and this project was mostly a water development project. So it would be developing that groundwater source through the wells and also secure that public health and safety aspect that we score, but just not as high as TSEP does. So this project also has funding through the SRF program. So that's something else that we, I don't know if it was discussed in the presentation. That's also something else that would need to be secured. And we do look at other funding sources and their financial viability of their proposed project. So this program does not recommend funding at this time until the project permits and all those legal aspects are secured. We did talk with our regional water office, and they said there wasn't any legally available water for this project through their permitting process. So that's something that we had to consider, because water rights are in our agency. We can't conflict with something that our agency is working on or have any legal issues arise based on what we fund. There's also some issues or steps that need to be taken with the DEQ subdivision permitting. So that's also something that we can't provide funding for, something that another agency might not be able to secure the permits for at this time. So this project is, as if it was standalone and there weren't any issues, it would just be a water development project, which we fund and can have high resource benefits. And we did talk with the applicant, and I'm sure what they provided to the committee through their hearing testimony probably has some information in it that we can circle back on later, or we can have a conversation with some follow-up information on exactly what we went over. I can get that information for you and provide it to the committee after our hearing today. We do have some other people here in our room if you have more questions. Anna Miller is here, and she manages that SRF component of the project, so she could talk about funding. And Autumn Coleman's also here if you have any questions. I refer to her as my de facto DEQ person, which isn't fair because she came from DEQ, and I don't have that familiarity with the DEQ permitting. And maybe Rachel Clark could also, since she's from DEQ in the past, could speak to that portion of the DEQ permitting. And I'm sorry if I rambled on, but if you have more questions, representative or members of the committee, I'll try to get that information to you as available. I know there's some people in the room also that might be able to speak to that. I think the engineers in the room or some more informational witnesses might be available.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Lindsay. We appreciate it. Do we have any further questions for Lindsay, for anybody here on the project? Seeing none here in the room, nor any online. Thank you all very much, and thank you, Dawn, for coming to speak with us today about the project. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
All right, with that, seeing no further questions, I think we are good to move on.
Next up, we have the town of Alberton. This project ranked number 8 for TSEP in House Bill 11, and number 61 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 15 of the TSEP handout and page 81 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of replacing undersized water mains, fixing broken water meters, and rehabilitating the existing spring source. Alberton is requesting $750,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is slightly less than $2 million, and I believe Mr. Paul Montgomery would like to testify today on behalf of Alberton.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Hopkins, members of the subcommittee. My name is Paul Montgomery. That's M-O-N-T-G-O-M-E-R-Y. I'm an engineer with Anderson Montgomery Consulting Engineers, speaking on behalf of the town of Alberton today. Just as a note, the mayor of Alberton had anticipated testifying today as well, but he got called out of town. He works for a brain injury nonprofit, so he's on the road today. Otherwise, he would certainly be testifying.
That will happen.
So the town of Alberton in Mineral County is seeking $125,000 in grant from the RRGL program under House Bill 6 and $750,000 in grant funding from the Treasure State program under House Bill 11 to implement critical improvements to its drinking water system. The town has demonstrated its commitment to providing dependable infrastructure for its community by implementing several recent major upgrades to its wastewater and drinking water systems with assistance from the Montana Infrastructure Grant programs. In fact, just this summer, the town completed a $170,000 improvements project with the help of a $125,000 RRGL grant to automate its water supply, conserve energy, provide safe disinfection of its drinking water supply, conserve its water source, and to provide for the proper measurement and reporting of water usage for water rights purposes. This next phase of the water system improvements project represents a $1.9 million step forward in providing the safe delivery of drinking water and adequate fire protection by improving and securing the town's primary water source, upsizing and looping distribution mains, pressure controls, and the replacement of individual water meters. This project has been scoped to maximize the benefit of all grant funds received, while keeping the user rate impacts to an acceptable level. Albertson has almost 65% low to moderate income residents, emphasizing its financial need under the Treasure State program. Despite its LMI status, the town continues to diligently plan for future infrastructure improvements with the support of its residents in order to assure the most cost-effective solutions are identified and implemented long before a crisis occurs. I'd be more than willing to answer any questions the subcommittee has.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Paul. I'd ask if any members in person or online have any questions on the project. Seeing none here in person nor any online, Paul, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate hearing from you on your project. Do we have anybody else online that was looking to testify on this project? I do not see any. Heather, that looks right to you?
That looks correct.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that, I think we'll go ahead and move on.
Next up is the town of Ekalaka. This project ranked number 9 for TSEP in House Bill 11. And number 47 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 16 of the TSEP handout and page 67 of the RRGL handout. This project consists of replacing approximately a mile of water distribution mains. Ekalaka is requesting $500,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is approximately $1.4 million. And the information we have is a Miss Kitty Schmidt would like to testify in person today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much and good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman Hopkins and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kitty Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D. I'm here today representing the town of Ekalaka's Water System Improvements Project. Ekalaka is the county seat of Carter County, which is in the southeast corner of Big Sky Country. Our current population is holding strong at 332 citizens. I've been serving as the clerk treasurer for Ekalaka since September of 2017, and it is the greatest place on earth. It just is. In recent years, we've had 4 new businesses show up in the town of Ekalaka. They're building a brand new grocery store on Main Street right now. The county has built a new grade school, and they're in the process of building a new hospital and nursing home. Progress and development are wonderful things to see in a small community, but we're seriously concerned about our infrastructure. The bulk of our water system was constructed in the 1930s and is primarily 4-inch cast iron pipe. During my tenure as town clerk, we've seen water loss exceeding 3 million gallons a year, while in 2018 we lost over 5 million gallons. And broken and leaking water mains are annoying because they're always, you know, on a weekend, the holiday, 2 o'clock in the morning, or at 40 below zero, or any combination of all of those.
Oh, if we could have you hold on for a second. Apparently, we were not smart enough to turn that microphone on for you before you got there. So there should be a little button there on the side base of it.
There.
Up here. It is on. Okay.
Okay. I very much apologize for that.
Oh, that's fine. You want me to start over?
You don't need to go through everything again. You absolutely can if you want to. We just wanted to make sure that at the very least, the majority of it we get to folks online. So I apologize for that.
Okay. Do you want me to spell my name again? Start there?
Yeah. Why don't you just start again?
Okay. For the record, my name is Kitty Schmid. I'm here today representing the Town of Ekalaka's Water System Improvements Project. Ekalaka is the county seat of Carter County, which is in the southeast corner of Big Sky Country. Our current population is holding strong at 332 citizens. I've been serving as a clerk treasurer of Ekalaka since September of 2017, and it is the greatest place on earth. In recent years, we've seen 4 new businesses open in town, and a new grocery store being built currently on Main Street. The county has built a new grade school and are in the process of constructing a new hospital and nursing home. Progress and development are wonderful things to see in a small community, but we're concerned about our infrastructure. The bulk of our water system was constructed in the 1930s and is primarily 4-inch cast iron pipe. During my tenure as town clerk, we've seen a water loss exceeding 3 million gallons a year, while in 2018 we lost 5 million gallons. Broken and leaking water mains are not only annoying because they're on a weekend or 2 o'clock in the morning or holiday or when it's 40 below outside, and I know I've been there for all of those. They're also a serious risk for contamination, and the health and safety of our citizens has always been a number one concern. We're also nervous that our antiquated system could not handle a large fire event. Our ISO rating has been severely deteriorating since we've been building the new buildings. The new grade school is huge. The new hospital is huge. We don't have the fire rating for our courthouse at the moment. We've been reconstructing portions of our system over the years, but as you know, the cost of such projects is incredible. The town has been working with Great West Engineering, who's completed a preliminary engineering report for Ekalaka's water system. Distribution system improvements that are necessary consist of over 21,000 linear feet at an estimated cost of over $5 million, which for our limited number of services would be impossible to tackle all at one time. So the project that we're working on is just over 5,000 linear feet at an estimated cost of $1.36 million. And that's only the first phase of many that will be necessary. Community support for our improvement is unbelievable, but with the large population in Ekalaka being senior citizens on limited income, grant funding is crucial. We need your help to address these basic infrastructure improvements to provide the essential service of clean drinking water in a way that's affordable to our community. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for any questions.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and hopefully this microphone is working slightly better on my end for those folks who are online. Do we have any questions at this time from members of the committee? I am not seeing any. With that, do we have further testimony on the project? Seeing none, thank you both very much for your time. Thank you for coming in to talk with us here today. We appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, we have a Holly Phelps with her hands raised.
Oh, I did not see a...
For Lewistown.
There we go. Holly, are you with us?
They are correct. I'm for Lewistown.
Oh, I got you. So up to the next project. Okay, perfect. Well, again, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
And
with that, we can go ahead and move on to Lewistown, and then we will get to Holly.
Sure. So the next project up is for the city of Lewistown. This project ranked number for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 58 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 17 of the TSEP handout and page 78 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of adding disinfection at the spring source in various locations in distribution, upgrading the existing booster stations and SCADA system, and fixing leaking water mains. Lewistown is requesting $500,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is approximately $4.8 million. And Mayor Holly Phelps would like to testify on behalf of Lewistown today.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Holly, good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Hopkins and members of the committee. I am Holly Phelps. I'm the city manager for the city of Lewistown. And for the record, that is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-P-H-E-L-P-S. The city of Lewistown has a very unique water system. The community's water comes from the Big Spring. This source is located 6 miles from town and flows by gravity to Lewistown. Historically, this system and its Big Spring source has not required disinfection, but aging infrastructure has contributed to intermittent positive total coliform sampling and within the entire system. And because of this, the DEQ is requiring the city of Lewistown to disinfect their water system. Our system has some complications that make meeting full-time disinfection requirements complicated. This project includes chlorination injection and sampling locations to provide even chlorine concentrations throughout two pressure zones and 162 services between the spring and the town. As you may know, chlorine degrades and needs to be strong enough to provide and meet the required concentrations, but not be too strong as to be a nuisance for the users to enjoy. In order to do this, chlorine must be injected and monitored at several locations. The project components include a chlorination building and upper user chlorine tank at our spring, control valve replacement and chlorination improvements where the transmission line enters the city, which is our lower pump station, chlorine and pump improvements at Castle Ridge Booster Station. This is a boosting point to the upper pressure zone, and control upgrades to monitor and control the new chlorination system, as the existing control system parts are no longer available, and water main replacement on the 6th Avenue line where the city has historically had many issues. This project is expensive and intricate in nature. We feel we have identified the best solution to provide disinfection as mandated by the Montana Department of Environmental Quality. The additional improvements to our water system are also needed to maintain pressure, provide adequate fire flow, monitor water system properly, and prevent water quality issues. These improvements to our water system will conserve and protect our valuable resources, as well as protect the health and safety of our residents. Our rates are already over 100% of our combined target rate. And while the city plans on raising user rates to raise funds for the project, the funding provided by DNRC is critical for this project to move forward and to be affordable for our residents. Thank you for your time and consideration of this grant proposal, and I am available for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Holly. And do we have any questions at this time from members of the committee? Not seeing any. Do we have any individuals on Zoom who are still looking to testify on this project?
I see no other hands raised.
Yeah, seeing none. I would say thank you very much, Holly, for coming to speak with us. We appreciate your time. And with that, I believe that we are good to move on.
Mr. Chairman, next up is the city of Harlowton. This project project ranked number 11 for TSIP in House Bill 11 and number 54 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 18 of the TSIP handout and page 74 of the RRGL handout. This project will replace about 8,000 feet of water distribution lines. TSIP grant request is for $625,000, and the total project cost is about $1.9 million. And I think we have the mayor on the line to provide testimony.
Mayor, are you with us? Looks like you might need to unmute yourself. Laura, if you can hear us, you might need to unmute yourself. Usually that'll be found in the bottom left-hand side of your screen. There you go. Good morning.
Hello, my name is Laura Nolan. I represent the Musselshell Watershed Coalition, and I know that the mayor had planned to call in this morning, so hopefully I just have a minute. When I'm done, he will be on.
I believe he just came on, so go right ahead.
Oh, okay. So Laura Nolan, that's N-O-W-L-I-N. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I'm the coordinator for the Musselshell Watershed Coalition. We would like to go on record for supporting this project. The towns within the watershed provide critical services for the surrounding rural residents and agriculture industry. Harlowton as a county seat provides even more essential services, and this project is significant to the future of the entire community. For these reasons, as well as water quality and efficiency issues being addressed, we support this project. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to the mayor.
Excellent. Thank you. And we have City of Harlington on the line here. I'm going to guess that's the mayor. Mayor, do we have you?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Excellent. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Paul Otten, P-A-U-L-O-T-T-E-N, and I am the mayor of Harlington. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify on behalf of House Bills 11 and 14 and the important projects these bills will help fund for our city located in Wheatland County. The background of our project is our existing water system has approximately 550 connections and roughly 900 people that it serves. The original water distribution system for the city was constructed in the 1930s. And consisted of cast iron pipe. The cast iron pipe does not withstand the current available and required static pressures. A new storage tank was constructed in 2011. The new tank increases pressures in the distribution system approximately 25 psi. This increased pressure resulted in catastrophic failure of the cast iron lines. We have had over 90 water main breaks since 2011. The old pipe is subject to electrolysis, which corrodes and forms holes in the pipe that provide contaminant entry points to the public drinking water system. Main breakage results in an imminent public health and safety problem when low or zero static pressures allow for inflow, backflow, and infiltration of potential contaminants such as petroleum hydrocarbons derived from the major LUST trust fund site that underlies most of the city. Unaccounted for water exceeds 50% over the last 3 years, indicative of well pumping far in excess of usage and billing for revenue because of the high system leakage. This negatively affects the water conservation effort. In 2014, we completed a preliminary engineering report that identified approximately 25,000 lineal feet of cast iron main that needed to be replaced. We have taken a phased approach to main replacements, and through 2020, we have replaced approximately 17,000 lineal feet in two phases. Our proposed project will replace the remaining 8,000 lineal feet of cast iron main in the distribution system. the proposed RRGL and TSEP grants for our project, make the project affordable for our customers, and will allow us to proceed with the project. I appreciate your consideration, my testimony, and support for House Bills 11 and 14, and I'm willing to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. With that, I would ask for questions from the committee, comments. Seeing none, I'd like to thank you both for coming in to speak with us today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. With that, I believe that we are good to move on.
Okay, next up is the town of Joliet. This project ranked number 12 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 69 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 19 of the TSEP handout and page 89 of the RRGL handout. The project is for drinking water system improvements, including replacement of a water storage tank. The TSEP grant request is for $625,000. The total project cost is just shy of $2 million. And I believe we have Amber from the town of Joliet, maybe?
No, it was supposed to be Dakota Mitchum.
Hey, I'm there, the mayor. Dakota, we can hear you. Why don't you go ahead?
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you, guys. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for allowing our testimonies today. My name is Dakota Mitchum. For the record, that's spelled M-I-T-C-H-E-M, and I'm the mayor of Joliet. I'm representing the town of Joliet today in hopes of securing the TSEP grant and the RRGL grant that we have applied for. Joliet is a small town between Billings and Red Lodge. We are a town of a large group of low-income families, totaling 53.77% of our population, according to the 2015 American Community Survey. We have been working diligently with Triple Tree Engineering to find solutions to our growing need to rehabilitate our water system. Water supply for our town is provided by three wells. Historical well yield trends show a reduction in production until air bursting is required. Systematic air bursting can be hard on well casings, especially those that are regularly exposed to air through the regular drawdown cycle. The water tank that we currently have was built in 1936 and is largely undersized for what DEQ requires today. As well as the issues we have with an 80-year-old tank, it is also located on private property. We have several blocks of asbestos concrete mains that are feeding fire hydrants, dead-end mains, and a shallow section that freezes in the winter, leaving a large area of our town without water for up to several weeks at a time. Carbon County is also looking to build a 100-bed detention facility in our town that would bring 20 to 30 jobs. With this detention facility, our water system will be impacted immensely if we are unable to receive the funding for our project. With this funding, the town of Joliet would be able to restore an old, broken-down water system and ensure the clean water supply that all citizens of our town deserve for many years to come. It will also allow for the growth and expansion that our town desperately needs. Again, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for allowing myself and the other project representatives the opportunity to speak today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do we have anybody else here in person or online that was looking to testify on the project? Seeing no hands, I would go ahead and go to any questions from the committee. Seeing none, thank you very much for coming in to speak with us today, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And with that, I think that we can move on.
The next project is for the City of Deer Lodge. This project ranked number 13 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and 13 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 20 of the TSEP handout and page 33 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of rehabilitating approximately 3,000 feet of leaking sewer main and installing a storm drainage system at one location to eliminate stormwater flows into the sanitary sewer. Deer Lodge is requesting $500,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is $1.1 million. And Mr. Chairman, Trent Freeman would like to testify virtually on behalf of Deer Lodge today.
Excellent. Trent, there we go. I see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Can you hear me all right?
We can indeed.
Good deal. For the record, my name is Trent Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. I'm the interim CAO, the public works superintendent, and the Class 1C wastewater treatment plant operator for the City of Deer Lodge. I am here today representing the City of Deer Lodge as a proponent for the wastewater I&I project in House Bills 6 and 11. On average, for the size of Deer Lodge, our influent flows to the wastewater treatment plant should be between 300 to 400,000 gallons per day. During peak times of the day, our current influent flows are 1 million gallons per day or higher. This is approximately double the amount of flow entering the newly constructed plant, which went online in 2017. The plant was designed for influent flow averages of 1 million gallons per day. As noted, you can see that we are at max capacity for the plant. This in turn leaves no room for future growth and development within the City of Deer Lodge. With the plant treating approximately 650,000 gallons per day of clean water, this is diluting the wastewater concentrations that our current effluent limits for BOD, TSS, and ammonia have been met with respect to effluent concentrations. However, percent removal requirements are difficult to meet during times of high I&I when influent is sufficiently diluted to cause the percent removal calculation to return lower than required values. These high flows are also creating more stress on our newly acquired equipment. With increased run times, there is increased electrical consumption for running longer, more frequent, and at an increased rate. Increased wear and tear, which leads to increased maintenance and ultimately increased costs. The city is working on fixing the I&I when funds come available, but due to high costs, we are unable to do big projects. With the help of funding agencies like RRGL and TSEP, we can do big projects and fix large portions of the problems to keep nipping at the collection system until we get the inflow and infiltration under control. We don't want to build a big upgrade on the newly constructed plant to increase the capacity. We want to fix the real problem, which is the excessive I&I. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Well, thank you, sir. Do we have any questions or comments from members of the committee, Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Freeman. Mr. Chair, Mr. Freeman, the effluent inflows being twice as much, more than twice as much as you had forecasted based on the population, surprises me. What causes a problem like that?
As you can see in the photos, we have manholes with deteriorated bottoms. We have old aging infrastructure with old clay tile pipe that leaking through the joints. We have old service lines where the connections to the sewer mains are leaking through the connections of the service pipes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Do we have further questions, comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, I'd say thank you very much for coming in to speak with us today. We appreciate your time, Trent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And with that, members, it looks like we are at about 9:54. We regularly schedule for a break around 10 a.m. We are a little bit ahead of schedule, but I'm still going to go ahead and recess the committee for a break so that both our folks in person and online have a little bit of time, so let's go ahead and consider it 9:55 right now. Let's say the committee is going to take a 10-minute break, and we will recess long range with the plan of coming back together here at 10:05. With that, long range is in recess. other. Oh, there we go. I keep forgetting that we mute microphones in between breaks, which is probably a pretty solid practice. Do we have Kathy, Rachel, Lindsay, Richard back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Hey there, Rachel. All right, let's go ahead and give it one more minute here for our other members to come back, and then we will continue on with business.
Are we back on yet? Is the chairman back?
Hey there, Kathy. Yes, we are going to start up in 1 second here. Do we have Richard or Lindsay back with us yet?
The next three projects are mine, so.
Oh, perfect. All right, then. Well, with that, we will go ahead and call Long Range back to order then. Rachel, if you'd like to start us off here on our project list.
Next up is the City of Libby. This project ranked number 14 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and 17 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 21 of the TSEP handout and 37 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of replacing the existing control system at the wastewater treatment plant and also replacing 600 feet of leaking sewer main. Libby is requesting $464,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is a little bit over $1 million. And the information we have is that Alora Hart would like to testify via Zoom today, but I did not see her name in the attendees list. So I'm not sure if somebody else is here to testify on behalf of Libby.
Yeah, I do not see Alora either. Let's just go ahead and ask everybody who is on our Zoom call, if you are here interested in testifying on the City of Libby project, go ahead and take a moment, raise your hand right now. I am not seeing anybody. Heather, are you seeing anybody?
I am not.
So kind of like past practices, if we end up having the individual call in who is looking to testify on the project, we will circle back, try to make sure that we capture that testimony. With that, I believe for right now, we can probably move on. Rachel.
Okay. The next project is for the Town of Manhattan. This project ranked number 15 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and 9 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 22 of the TSEP handout and page 29 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of upgrades to the existing wastewater treatment plant for nutrient and BOD removal, including constructing a rapid infiltration basin to allow groundwater discharge during the summer months and restoring eroded areas of the discharge ditch. Manhattan is requesting $750,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is approximately $7.8 million, and Mr. Kyle Scar was supposed to testify on behalf of Manhattan today. He's listed under TDNH, yep.
Excellent. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Am I coming through okay?
Sorry, could you say that one more time?
Good morning. Am I coming through okay?
We can indeed. Please, go right ahead.
Awesome. Well, thank you. For the record, my name is Kyle Scar, S-C-A-R-R.
with TDNH Engineering, and as the Town of Manhattan engineer, I'm here on behalf of the town and its residents in support of House Bill 11 and 6 and the RRGL and TSEP programs. Manhattan is located in Gallatin Valley, a little bit west of Bozeman, and is home to approximately 1,750 residents. In 2008, the town upgraded its lagoon wastewater system to a hybrid activated sludge fixed fill mechanical wastewater facility. Since that upgrade has occurred, the neighboring communities of Amsterdam and Churchill have also connected to this facility, and it currently supports the two communities of roughly 2,350 people. The town diligently maintains the facility and has operated it to the point where they are pretty much squeezing everything they can get out of it and doing a great job of that. But after tireless efforts, the results of unanticipated issues have created deficiencies, including the failure of the original aeration system that required the town to do an emergency install of a less effective fine bubble diffused aeration system. They also had an eroded outfall channel and inefficient solids digestion and dewatering systems. Clearly, a reliable wastewater facility is critical to the health and safety of the public, and as well to maintain the quality of the aquifer in the area. Dita Ditch, which is where the facility currently discharges its effluent, and ultimately the Gallatin River, which is where Dita Ditch flows into. In addition to these deficiencies, the town is also facing new seasonal numeric nutrient standards for treatment facilities, specifically discharging to surface water. The existing facility is not able to meet these new stricter requirements, and as required by the state, all these facilities, including Manhattan's, will be required to meet the standards by July of 2027. Currently, Manhattan is identified by the Montana DEQ as one of only four publicly owned treatment facilities that will be challenged to meet this deadline. So the public infrastructure funding provided by these bills and RRGL and TSEP is critical to the town's efforts to meet those standards. And we're looking at a project estimated approximately $7.8 million in order to construct the groundwater discharge system and the rapid infiltration beds. These will be used as opposed to the surface water discharge when the facility is unable to meet those standards. We'll also be installing redundant blowers in a building for the new and current blowers. Right now, they're just out in the elements. And several facility improvements, including internal mixed liquor recycling, media for biofilm growth, and a dewatering building. So if the town is unable to secure funding such as that included in these bills, they don't have a choice. They need to meet the standards, and they will need to take out additional loans, resulting in just an increased financial burden to the community. So on behalf of the town and its residents, I thank you for consideration, and we are definitely in support of House Bill 11 and 6 and the TSEP and RRGL programs. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming in to talk about your project here today. Seeing no questions from the committee, I think that we are good to move on, and thank you again.
The next project is for the town of Fairfield. This project ranked number 16 for TSEP and House Bill 11, and 65 for RRGL and House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 23 of the TSEP handout and page 85 of the RRGL handout.
Rachel, can we go ahead and have you repeat your last couple sentences there? The microphone seems to have cut out on us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sure. Next up is the town of Fairfield. Can you hear me better now?
We can indeed. Thank you.
Okay, sure. This project ranked number 16 for TSEP and House Bill 11 and 65 for RRGL and House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 23 of the TSEP handout and page 85 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of replacing leaking and undersized water mains and adding looping to increase fire flows. Fairfield is requesting $625,000 from TSEP today. The total project cost is approximately $2.4 million. And Mr. Chairman, Tammy Comer would like to testify via Zoom today.
Excellent. I see Tammy there. Good morning. Tammy, can you hear us? I see that you are unmuted, but we still cannot hear anything from your side. Yep. Tammy, are you there? Okay, looks like we seem to be having a little bit of a problem with some audio from Tammy. Why don't we give that a minute here to see if we can fix it. I also see we have... Well, let's try that again.
This is Colette Anderson. Tammy warned me that she might have some audio issues, so I offered to fill in on her behalf if that was the case.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate it. Please go right ahead.
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Colette Anderson, C-O-L-L-E-T-T-E, Anderson, spelled as usual with an O. I am the town's engineer. I work with Great West Engineering. And Tammy, as I said, was attempting to testify on behalf of the town of Fairfield and their water project. So I'll fill in for her. So the town of Fairfield is a small community in Teton County serving a population of around 750 people. Their water system was originally constructed in the 1940s. And similar to many communities across the state and those you're hearing from today, they need some financial assistance in completing the necessary upgrades to be able to continue providing clean drinking water and adequate fire protection to their community. They are experiencing leakage, and they also have a number of undersized water mains throughout their system that limit fire flow capacity. Recently, their operators have been busy repairing many service line connections that are old copper lines that have been coming disconnected from the main lines and causing some issues due to the deteriorating condition of the system. These kind of issues create potential entry points for contaminants to enter their system, and the leaking mains increase the threat of backflow contamination. With the grants, Fairfield will be able to address the areas of greatest concern. They're looking at replacing nearly 8,000 feet of pipe, which is just the first phase of necessary improvements. They will also be looking at increasing their storage capacity in the future. So funding assistance provided in House Bills 11 and 14 will help the town to move forward with the necessary improvements while minimizing the financial impact to their users, who are already paying on average over $100 a month for both water and for water and sewer combined, or around 145% of their target rate as calculated by Commerce. So on behalf of the town, we're asking for your support of House Bill 11 and 14. So they can move forward with their project.
Excellent.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Colette, both for calling in. And apologies to Tammy for running into our audio issues here, but we certainly appreciate the testimony. With that, I would ask for questions, comments from members of the committee, seeing none here in person or online. Thank you both for coming in here to talk with us today. We appreciate your time. And with that, I think that we are good to move on.
Mr. Chairman, Tammy's name popped up here and just a second ago. I'm not sure if she has some testimony after all.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, Tammy, yes, we can. Good morning.
Sorry, I ended up joining on by phone. Sorry about that.
That is perfectly fine.
Glitch. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I appreciate your time and your patience for me not being able to get on through the Zoom call. As Colette was saying, that we do have an old system that was done in the 1940s, and a lot of that is in need of major repair, and the longer that we go through the days we're having more and more leaks that we've come across, and some of those are copper and some of them are asbestos, 2, 4, and 6 inch pipes that are starting to leak pretty bad. We are located close to the Rocky Mountain front, about 30 miles out of Great Falls, and most of our community is an elderly community that is on a fixed income, and we already pay $100 per month average for our water and sewer rates. So the increase in that would hurt them financially, and it would be a huge financial burden on each one of those that have to pay that. So we are asking for the grant funds for that, and we sure do appreciate your consideration in the grants.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Tammy, for calling in today. Glad we were able to get rid of the audio issues. And I would ask one more time for members of the committee if there's any questions. Seeing none, thank you very much, Tammy. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. And with that, then, I believe that we are good to move forward to, I believe, Town of Darby.
Mr. Chairman, Darby, this project ranked number 17 for TSEP in House Bill 11 and number 16 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 24 of the TSEP handout and page 36 of the RRGL handout. This project is for improvements at the wastewater treatment facility. The TSEP grant request is for $625,000. The total project cost is about $1.8 million. And I'm not sure if anybody's on the line from Darby.
I believe we do have somebody here in person to testify on behalf of the project. And during that time, if there is anybody on Zoom who is looking to testify on the project, please take this moment to raise your hand, and we will get to you in a second. Sir, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jason Crawford. For the record, that's C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D, and I'm an engineer with Triple Tree Engineering, and we're the town's contracted engineer. The mayor was planning on calling in here this morning, so you may see him pop in here as I'm giving a brief overview of the project. But Darby is a small town of about 670 people located in west central Montana, about 60 miles south of Missoula, down there along the Bitterroot River. And since 2016, the Darby wastewater system and their lagoon has experienced 27 violations with DEQ of their wastewater discharge permit. And at this time, DEQ is recommending that the town of Darby continue to complete operational changes and evaluate upgrade options in order to meet numeric limits of the permit. Failure to address the violations can result in future violations and be subject to enforcement action. In addition to the issues at the lagoon, the collection system is old and outdated and experiences upward of 2.5 million gallons a month of infiltration during the summertime. This taxes the existing system, the existing lift station, and the lagoon. The proposed project is to replace key components within the distribution system to help address some of the excess infiltration, and then to remove the sludge from the lagoon. The proposed project cost, as was mentioned, is close to $2 million. I believe that the ask to TSEP and RRGL is a total of $750,000. So we're looking to, in addition to the grant funds, they'll still be looking at bridging the gap of over $1 million. And Darby has an extremely low median household income at about $24,000. They're also on a fixed income families in town, and about 80% of that the population there is considered to be low to moderate income levels. So any help is very much appreciated and very much needed by the town of Darby. I'm here to answer any other questions if there are any.
Thank you very much. And before we go to questions, I would just say it's been the committee's prerogative this session that if we do have somebody who is looking to or planning on testifying on a project and they happen to come on at a later time, we have no problem at all circling back as long as time allows to make sure to capture that testimony. With that, I go to questions from the committee. Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but I missed the witness's name.
My name is Jason Crawford.
Jason.
C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D, an engineer with Triple Tree. We're the contracted engineers for the town of Darby.
So, Mr. Chair, my question is for Mr. Crawford. And Mr. Crawford, in this in our booklet that we have here, and we note that you folks have applied for grants from, or at least have applied for, at least for one, and appear ready to apply for another. So the CDBG grant, for example, looks like it was supposed to have been submitted last September. Was that done?
The CDBG application was submitted, yes. We haven't heard the results of that yet.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Crawford, so is that a high probability that you guys would get that, or I'm not sure how those work, so... tell me what your thoughts are.
That's, I guess, historically, the CDBG grants have been about 70 to 80% success rate. I don't know what it looks like during this cycle. We did have another municipality that was, we did hear back that they were denied their CDBG grant application. So maybe the cycle is different than the 80 to 90% success rate. I don't know the answer to that.
Follow up. And Mr. Chair, Mr. Crawford, then the rural development grant that looks like on our sheet here said to be submitted in the fall of 21, same kind of question. Is there high degree of success on those? Or?
Yes, the RD grants are typically successful, and they are very dependent on a town's current LMI situation. Since Darby is quite low on their current LMI situation, they probably... rank pretty good with USDA RD for a grant.
Follow up. And so, Mr. Chair, Mr. Crawford, LMI is low median income, is that correct?
Correct.
And so if you're successful on both of those grants, then sort of the gap that remains is about $400,000.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That helps me understand.
Excellent. Do we have further questions, comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming in and spending some time with us here this morning, sir. And with that, let me go ahead and check online really fast to see if anybody raised their hands. Heather, I am not seeing anybody. That sound about right?
That sounds right.
All righty. Well, with that, then I think that we are good to move forward.
So next up is the Sealy Lake Sewer District. This project ranked number 18 for TSIP in House Bill 11. It is a contingent project in House Bill 11, and as such, it is also included in House Bill 14. Information can be found on pages 25 and 156 of the TSIP handout. The project was funded by RRGL in 2019. The project is for construction of phase two of the sewage collection system. The TSEP grant request is for $750,000. The total project cost is about $6.5 million. Yesterday we heard from Jane Curtis. She might be on the line, and we might have other people as well that want to provide testimony.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Richard. And we do have Gene Curtis on the line. Gene, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. Please go ahead and good morning.
Good morning. So I did provide testimony yesterday. I didn't know if everybody heard it because I didn't realize I was on today. Do you want me to highlight what I did yesterday, Mr. Chairman?
It would be perfectly fine with me if you just ran through the entire thing again. Not a bad thing to have a refresher.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, my name is Jean Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S-S. I serve as the district manager for the Sealy Lake Sewer District. And the Sealy Lake Sewer District is in the process of constructing a much needed community wastewater treatment system in Sealy. So the picture that you see there, that is not built. That is the type of system that we will be building, which is called a sequential batch reactor. So we, the first phase will be to build the treatment plant, and then the construction of the collection system will be in four phases. So the one before you today is for phase two. We were already granted a TSEP grant for phase one from the legislature, and we very much appreciate that. So the our application is in House Bill 14, as was stated, and will be part of the funding, the total funding package. The final design will be completed by the engineers this March. So it's we have preliminary design, but we don't have the final product yet. The sewer projects are expensive. There's only 508 lots total in Sealy to share the cost, so all grants are important. The engineering reports for the project are thorough, and they have chosen that sequential batch reactor that will address the problem, which is high nitrates. Since 1992, nitrates have been identified as with elevated amounts in the Sealy Lake area. Existing businesses and lot owners are limited in their ability to expand or even develop some lots without a public wastewater system. Rovero's is our local gas station, convenience store, hardware store. And a couple years ago, they had to invest in a level two treatment system at a cost of $150,000. So this system is needed. Any of you who have driven through Sealy will realize that the downtown area has very small lots, and they are all on individual septics. So some of the lots owners there cannot develop. Many of the properties in phase two are also right on the lake, and protecting the lake, the surface water, as well as the groundwater from nitrates is very important to the people who live there, but also the people who come there to recreate. Community water system also draws water from the north end of the lake, making it very important to keep that lake clean. So this TSEP grant is a critical piece of the funding package to make this second phase affordable to those who live there. There are only 153 parcels sharing in the cost of phase two. I am available to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Jane. We appreciate it. With that, I'd go to any questions, comments from members of the committee, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Ms. Curtis. Ms. Curtis, in looking at the application that's in our book here, it shows your the monthly rate proposed with TSEP assistance for, I assume that's a combined water and wastewater rate, of $241, which is a gigantic increase above where you are now, but also a huge step to rate without TSEP assistance. And I'm kind of wondering if you could sort of verify that number for me and explain why there is such a big jump between those two numbers.
So you're, Mr. Chair, Mr. Hamilton, you're correct. The numbers are very high. They're higher than you would want them. And it all comes down to the fact that there are so few people sharing in the cost. The water in Sealy currently is about $60 a month. So their water is already high, and then we'll add this to it. So on February 23rd, the board did vote to put this out to an election. So we were authorized to build with what are called assessment bonds, which were an equal assessment per lot, whether it had a house on it, a business on it, or it was empty. But it wasn't quite sufficient. That was adopted a couple of years ago. So the community will be voting on February 23rd. If they pass those GO bonds, government or general obligation bonds, I think the cost will come down, but the application to you is based on those assessment bonds. But then just annual maintenance is like $237,000 a year. It is subsidized, going to be subsidized by Missoula County and the district for the first 3 years until we get all 500 lots on. So they are high numbers, but your grant would definitely help to make those numbers smaller.
Follow up?
Follow up.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Curtis, I think I probably didn't answer my question or ask my question very well. So with TSEP assistance, you're at 241. Without TSEP assistance at 458, that seems like even for as few of lots as they're involved are, that's a huge number for a grant that from either TSEP or RRGL that would be $875,000. So is that jump in those numbers, assuming you don't get any money from rural development or WRDA or anything?
It must be. I could get those answers back to you, Mr. Hamilton, because I didn't write the grant. Great West wrote it for me, and I'd have to review where they came up with those numbers.
If you wouldn't mind getting that back, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Further questions, comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, Gene, thank you for coming in to talk with us again. We certainly appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And with that, I believe that we are good to move forward.
So next up is the City of Roundup. This project ranked number 19 for TSEP in House Bill 11. It is a contingent project in House Bill 11, and as such, it is also included in House Bill 14. Information can be found on pages 26 or 154 of the TSEP handout. The project was funded by, project is ranked number 43 for RRGL and is included in House Bill 14 and can be found on page 63 of the RRGL handout. This project will replace about 6,000 feet of water distribution mains. The grant request is $750,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is about $1.8 million. And I don't know if we have anybody who has indicated to us that they will be testifying.
I do see some hands up. Are we going to Greg first? Or I see Laura's hand is up as well. Laura, Greg, do we have either of you with us?
Yeah, this is Greg Lukasik with Great West Engineering. I believe Mayor Sandra Jones was going to be involved as well.
Oh, there we go. I see Sandra's hand go up now.
There you go.
Do you have a particular order that you would prefer for testimony?
Mayor Jones, and then I'm just here for tech support.
Perfect. Mayor Jones, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Honorable Chairman, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Sandra Jones, J-O-N-E-S, Mayor of the City of Roundup. And on behalf of the City of Roundup, which is home for over 1,800 residents and is also a low-income community, I want to say that we appreciate all of the help that has been provided to us through these programs. Over the past 10 years, we have been moving forward in accordance with our priorities as laid out in our capital improvement plan, which is focused on upgrading our water system to make it sustainable. We have now completed five phases of replacing the antiquated 100-year-old water main distribution system. The amount of iron in our water mixed with the antiquated cast iron water pipes diminishes the quality of our water. During this time, the City of Roundup has raised water rates accordingly and has implemented a $15 a month capital surcharge to help offset debt incurred for the project. The City of Roundup is also part of the Central Montana Regional Water Authority, which has been working for these past 19 years to bring a new source of water into the city. Federal authorization has now been approved for the Central Montana Regional Water Authority. The TSEP, DNRC, and RRGL and other funding programs from the state and federal governments have allowed us to keep our rates fairly reasonable to prepare for the large rate increase coming when the Central Montana Regional Water Authority begins serving our community. We are now respectfully asking for help from these programs again to complete the final phase of this water distribution project. We are hopeful that the completion of the infrastructure project will serve to coincide with the timing of receiving the new source of water from the Central Montana Regional Water Authority. Thank you for your time, and I, along with Engineer Greg Lukasik, I'm also here with our Public Works Director, Lon Sibley, and we're here to answer any questions you may have of us. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mayor. With that, I would ask if there's any questions, comments from members of the committee. Seeing none, thank you very much for coming in to speak with us today, to all of you. We certainly appreciate your time. Was there anybody else who was looking to testify on the project who had not had a chance to as of yet?
Mr. Chairman, this is Laura Nolan. I would like to.
Absolutely. Please go right ahead, Laura.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Laura Nolan. I'm the coordinator for the Musselshell Watershed Coalition. We would like to go on record for supporting this project. Roundup is the urban center of the Musselshell Watershed and provides key services accessed by residents in a multi-county area. This project will address water quality concerns as well as water loss issues and the ability to meet fire flow requirements. The project is necessary for Roundup to continue to serve residents throughout the watershed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just for procedural, if there's any questions from the committee, not seeing any. Thank you again to all three of you for joining us. We certainly appreciate your time. And with that, I believe that we are good to move forward.
So next up is the City of Choteau Water Project. This project ranked number 21 for TSEP and number 64 for RRGL. Both would then be in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 143 of the TSEP handout and page 84 of the RRGL handout. This project will replace or add about 6,000 feet of water distribution lines and will develop a new drinking water source. The grant request is $625,000. The total project cost is just over $4 million. And I understand the mayor is online for testifying.
Good morning. This is Colette Anderson again with Great West Engineering, and the mayor is going to be unable to join us.
No problem at all, Colette. Were you looking to testify on the project in the stead?
Yes, I will testify on behalf of Mayor Handoing.
Excellent. Why don't you go right ahead?
Yeah. The mayor is undergoing cancer treatments, and his treatments today, he was hoping to be here. He was really excited to be able to testify, and his treatments, unfortunately, are preventing him from doing so. Again, my name is Colette Anderson. I'm the engineer for the City of Choteau and this water project, and would testify on behalf of their project. The City of Choteau owns and operates a public water system. They serve a population of around 1,700 people. Their water system was constructed way back in 1910. And while many portions of it have been updated, much of the system still remains, original system still remains, and has obviously outlived its useful life and is in need of some upgrades. On average, their system experiences about 40% water loss, primarily through leakage. It's as high as 70% in some months. Again, leaking pipes increase the threat of backflow contamination. Many of their pipes, about 20% of their system, is also undersized, and the undersized mains could limit flows that may be critical in an emergency fire situation. The other component of their project is water supply. They currently do not have a reliable, redundant water supply source, and their existing supply feeds their water storage tanks through a single transmission main. So in the event something goes wrong with their water supply or in a break in that transmission main, much of the system could be without water for an extended period of time. Their proposed project, as Richard said, will replace about 6,000 feet of piping. To hopefully reduce leakage and minimize the threat of backflow contamination, also improving fire flows throughout the system, and would also develop a redundant water supply source and additional transmission main up to the water storage tanks. The estimated cost is over $4 million, and the proposed funding package does include $625,000 TSEP grant, $125,000 RRGL grant, along with a local contribution and loan funding through either rural development or state revolving fund. With that package, and the which would be possible with the passage of House Bill 14, the city is looking at still raising rates by around $8 per user. Per month. Without those grant dollars, that rate increase could go up to around $11 to $19 per user per month, depending on what kind of loan package that they're successful in securing. So the city, on top of this water project, is also making some pretty significant wastewater improvements. So they have a lot going on in their community, and they would be very well benefited by these grants for their water project. And so on behalf of the city of Shoto, we support House Bill 14 for their community. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And really fast, do we have any questions, comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, Colette, thank you as always. We appreciate your time. With that, I believe that we are good to move. Oh, hold on really fast here. I see another hand being raised. Is that for our next project, or is that...
Yes, that's for the next project is Richie, yeah.
Okay, I was assuming, so just wanted to go ahead and make sure. With that, we can move on.
Next up is the town of Richie. This project ranked number 22 for TSEP in House Bill 14 and number 70 in RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 153 of the TSEP handout and page 90 of the RRGL handout. This project consists of replacing approximately 3,000 feet of leaking sewer main. Richie is requesting $500,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is approximately $1.5 million. And Mr. Chairman, Joni Lenz from the town of Richie would like to testify today.
Excellent. Joni, are you with us? Can you hear us?
I am. We have our... This is Joni Lenz. We have our mayor here ready to testify, Harlan Olson.
Oh, excellent. Well, good morning to you both, and please go right ahead.
Well, good morning. I am Harlan Olson, Mayor of Richie. Can you guys hear me all right?
We can indeed. Thank you.
All righty. On behalf of the town of Richie, I want to say that we appreciate the opportunity these funds and programs provide for our community to complete our much-needed improvements. The town of Richie is a rural community in northern Dawson County. Mainly economic support is by agriculture. The purpose of the projects, the first of several water system improvements that we are needing to do for our community. Many of our water system mains are over 80 years old, and they're breaking down all the time with leaks, and we have to tear up roads and streets and to fix these mains, which adds to more problems. Also, nearly two-thirds of our water mains are undersized. So in the event of a house fire or something like that, it would be hard for our fire hydrants to keep up with that, with those fires. Obtaining grant funding from the TSEP and the DNRC RRGL programs will go a long way towards keeping our user rates reasonable, and we look to improve our systems to make our town sustainable. In the addition to the repairs of these mains, we also have significant costs related to operating our water treatment facilities and pumping water. Our supply aquifers are 1,500 feet underground, so the cost of operating these systems is not very cheap. We also respectfully ask for help from these programs to be completed the first phase of the water distribution improvement projects. We're hopeful these phases are completed before the Redwater, the dry Redwater regional water systems are in place. Thank you for your time. I am here with council members Tate Vira and Kirk Winhofer. And our Public Works Director, Tony Eggert, is also with us. And I believe our engineer, Greg Rukosik, is on conference call with us also, if you have any questions.
Absolutely. Well, I do see that Greg is on here. Why don't we go? Greg, are you looking to offer some testimony here on this project?
Nope, the mayor did a terrific job.
Okay, excellent. So with that, we would go to questions, comments from members of the committee. Seeing none, we would thank all of you for coming to join us here today, both mayor and council members. I certainly appreciate your time.
All right, we appreciate yours. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. As well as good morning, Jason. With that, we are good to move forward.
Next up will be the City of Wolf Point. It's a wastewater project. This project ranked number 23 for TSEP in House Bill 14 and number 26 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 163 of the TSEP handout and page 46 of the RRGL handout. This project will replace about 3,700 feet of sewer lines and improve a main lift station. The TSEP grant request is for $625,000. The total project cost is about $5 million. And I don't know who we might have on the line representing Wolf Point.
Looks like we have Chris on the line. Chris, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Chairman?
We can indeed. Please go right ahead.
Can you hear me, Chairman? I guess I didn't get that.
Apologies. Yes, we can. Please go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Honorable Chairman and members, my name is Chris Deschaak, D-S-C-H-A-A-K. I'm the mayor of the city of Wolf Point. On behalf of the city of Wolf Point, I want to say that we appreciate the opportunity these funding programs are providing our community to complete our much-needed wastewater improvements. The city's proposed project is the first of several wastewater system improvements that are needed throughout our community. A recent inventory of our sewer system showed nearly the entire city's system needing to be upgraded. Broken sewer mains have been causing backups into residential homes, and we deal with this excessive infiltration when groundwater is high, which strains our lift station and treatment facilities. Obtaining grant funding through TSEP and DNRC RRGL programs will go a long way towards keeping our user rates reasonable while we look to improve our system to make it sustainable. Our system not only serves the city of Wolf Point, but also several tribal housing areas just outside city limits. Our wastewater users simply cannot afford just to have us raise the rates arbitrarily and to upgrade the entire system and complete the entire project, which at today's cost is nearly $20 million. These grants will go a long way as we work to complete the improvements over the next several years. We are asking for your help from these programs to complete the first phase of this wastewater collection system improvement project, which requires the passing of House Bill 14. Thank you for your time. And along with our engineer, Greg Lukasik, are here to answer anything that you have. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, thank you. With that, we would ask first if there's anybody else who is looking to testify on this project. Seeing none, we'd go to questions, comments from members of the committee. And seeing none, thank you very much for your time this morning, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. And with that, I believe that we are good to move on.
So the next project is the town of Circle. This project ranked number 24 for TSEP and House Bill 14, and number 42 for RRGL, also in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 144 of the TSEP handout and page 62 of the RRGL handout. The project will replace about 3,300 feet of water distribution mains. The TSEP grant request is for $625,000. The total project cost is $1.5 million. And again, I'm not sure who we might have on for the town of Circle.
Honorable Chairman and member of the committee, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Thank you for joining us.
All right. I'm Ken Ely, E-H-L-I, the mayor of the town of Circle. On behalf of the town of Circle, I would like to say that we appreciate the help that has been provided to us through the TSEP and DNRC RRGL programs. Over the past 5 years, we've been moving forward on a phased approach to replace our aging water system, replacing cast iron and AC water mains, some of which are over 80 years old. We have completed two phases of replacing the water mains and have still several more to go. The Circle water system challenges include excessive leaking, high water loss, and low pressure resulting in low fire flows. When we have a main leak, the costs are typically in excess of $10,000 to fix each leak. Also, our source water requires an extensive and expensive treatment process, and through leaks, we lose upwards of 30 to 35% of our water annually, putting a strain on our water system finances. Obtaining grant funding from TSEP and DNRC RRGL programs have gone a long way to towards keeping our user rates reasonable while we continue to improve our system to make it sustainable. With our smaller population, we have to complete this with a phased approach and taking out loans to match grant funds with each phase. We are respectfully asking for help from the programs to complete the third phase, of which the water distribution improvement project, which require the passing of House Bill 14. We are hopeful the phased completion of the water main replacement will complete prior to the connection to the dry red water regional water system. Thank you for your time, and I, along with our engineer, Greg Lukaski, are here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mayor. And with that, I would ask for any questions or comments from members of the committee. Not seeing any. Once again, thank you for your time, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate it. And with that, I think that we are good to move on.
Next up is the City of Shelby. This project ranked number 26 for TSEP and House Bill 14 and 31 for RRGL and House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 157 of the TSEP handout and page 51 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of replacing approximately a mile of undersized water main and conducting a leak set. Shelby is requesting $625,000 from TSEP. The project cost is approximately $1.3 million.
Well, Rachel, can we get you to back up about 10 seconds? We had another microphone cut out on us. I apologize.
Sure, yep. The project consists of replacing approximately a mile of undersized water main and conducting a leak study. Shelby is requesting $625,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is approximately $1.3 million, and we understand that written testimony was submitted to your clerk for this project. I'm not sure if Greg is intending to testify on behalf of Shelby. I still see his hand up.
I do indeed see Greg's hand up. Greg, if you'd like to unmute yourself, are you looking to testify on this project, or is that from... Yep, so a hand go down and then back up. Greg, are you with us? Okay, yep. There you go. Hand went down. All right, so we'll just go ahead and consider our written testimony the primary testimony for this project. If anybody else does or did intend to provide testimony on this project and we don't get to them, of course, as always, we are willing to circle back to capture that testimony. With that, I would ask for questions, comments from members of the committee, and seeing none, I think that we are good to move forward. Thank you.
The next project is for the Cook City Sewer District. This project ranked number 27 for TSEP and House Bill 14 and number 4 for RRGL and House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 145 of the TSEP handout and page 24 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of acquiring land for a new community drain field and constructing the drain field collection and treatment systems. Cook City is requesting $500,000 from TSEP. The total project cost is over $5 million. And Mr. Robert Smith would like to testify virtually on behalf of Cook City today.
Excellent. Robert, are you able to hear us?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. Please go ahead, sir, and good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Smith, S-M-I-T-H. I am here as the chairman of the Colder Pass Cook City Silvergate County Sewer District. I am also a local owner in the Cook City. I am requesting funding for a new wastewater collection and treatment system for our district with RRGL and TSEP programs. We are looking for a total estimated price of $5.2 million for this for phase one. Cook City is a gateway community located at the northeast entrance of Yellowstone National Park and has a population of 75 people year-round, 250 people during the summer. In a typical year, we see 250,000 tourists coming to our town. Being a community depending on heavily on tourism, since 2006, we have worked hard to utilize a resort tax of 3%. Last fall, we levied for a tax increase of 1% and achieved it. Even with the increase, the resort tax revenue is not enough to support the ongoing issue with our wastewater and the funds we are looking for. The community is landlocked by public lands managed by the Forest Service due to the community's location and availability of on-lot wastewater treatment and disposal systems. Heavy precipitation has not only led to the flooding of Soda Butte Creek and downstream areas of Yellowstone River, but also caused oversaturation and hydraulic overloading of the soils and systems, flooding of drain field areas, raw sewage surfacing, and operational failures. Of these cases have led to system shutdowns and reduction of usage for periods of time to allow for discharge areas to recover. Community members have been forced to invest private money to temporarily fix to limp along existing systems so business can continue with the community. Businesses have drain field disposal areas that have been installed on Forest Service lands adjacent to the property because of space restriction. The Forest Service has notified these businesses that they will no longer be renewing the ground leases for drain fields installed here, but are willing to renew the ground leases on year-to-year basis as long as the community is moving forward. Should the process fall short, 50% of our businesses would be forced to shut down due to elimination of their wastewater systems. The District Ranger, Park County, MSU Extension, and Yellowstone National Park has provided letters of support with our written testimony for the funding of this important project. The environmental impacts are continuing to worsen. Currently, the water quality of Soda Butte Creek is affected and threatening to impact the Yellowstone River. The construction of a single community system under the supervision of a certified operator with the Montana DEQ is imperative. Both the district and Forest Service see significant benefits to the environment for implementing a new community wastewater system. Our community is a vital part of the Montana economy. The world comes through our small town and enjoys of our local resources. We cannot do this alone. We need your help. Thank you for your time. I am available for any questions you may have.
Well, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. With that, I don't see any other hands up to testify on the project. If there is anybody who would like to testify on the project, please take this time to raise your hands. In the meantime, we'll go to questions, comments from the committee, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Smith. Mr. Chair, Mr. Smith, you mentioned the resort tax was not enough for this project. So between the base resort tax and the 1% add-on, what percent total of that money is being used toward water projects, and what does that turn out to be dollar-wise?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think you're the one to ask the questions. I can't really give you all the questions on that, or answers, I should say. I know that the resort tax is paying for $20,000 a year for loan payment on the water district. They did require $125,000 water district for several years ago. Now with the 1% we did add on is for infrastructure totally for the sewer district. So it is only spent for that. So looking at the last year's income of resort tax, we are looking at between $60,000 and $70,000 for the end of this year to help us with money.
Thank you. That's helpful. And a follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
That's actually a slightly different subject, but Mr. Chair, Mr. Smith, in the on your application page in our booklet, it talks about if awarded, the ranking team recommends a release of any funding be contingent upon the receipt of either a discharge permit or other authorization from DEQ. Can you explain a little bit about that to us?
That, Mr. Chairman, I am not able to do that. I will get back to you with that information.
That's perfectly fine. Representative Hamilton, would you like to redirect that over to refer that, whatever the official term, over to Rachel by chance?
That would be great.
Excellent. Rachel.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative Hamilton, the application that came in to us talked about a central community drain field, which would exceed the limits for needing a groundwater discharge permit at DEQ. Sometimes getting a discharge permit from DEQ is lengthy and difficult. And so prior to giving them money, we wanted to make sure that discharge permit was in hand, or if for some reason they were able to get an authorization to degrade, that would also work. That would be fine too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Seeing no other questions or comments from members of the committee, Robert, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us today about the project. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much to hear from you.
Absolutely. And with that, I believe that we are going to move forward to, I believe, Big Sandy. Perfect.
Next up is the town of Big Sandy. It is a stormwater project. This project ranked number 28 for TSEP in House Bill 14 and number 72 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 141 of the TSEP handout and page 92 of the RRGL handout. This project will construct stormwater system improvements along Main Street in Big Sandy. The grant request is about $484,000, and the total project cost is just under $1 million. And I believe we have Rich Jesperson and possibly Susan Brurud online for a testimony.
Excellent. And I can't see which one jumped in first, but why don't we go ahead and go with Rich, and then we'll go to Susan. Rich, can you hear us?
Yes, I certainly can.
Excellent.
I'm a town council member, and good morning to you. Thank you for having us on here today. We appreciate your attention to this. Also, there should be a Luke LaLiberty, project manager for KLJ Engineering, available on this call to answer any technical questions that you might have. As for my part of this, in the past several years, Big Sandy's had significant flooding on Main Street. The relatively flat surface area layout of the town and rapidly deteriorating streets and a truly ancient stormwater system is causing the flooding to occur more frequently. Our Main Street businesses, of which there are about 16, have experienced flooding, water coming in underneath the doors and water collecting on Main Street. You can see from the picture on the screen what that looks like. And then during freeze and thaw cycles throughout the winter and into the spring, it becomes a much more hazardous situation downtown. Our existing stormwater system was actually installed originally in the early 1900s, so it's well over 100 years old. And if we could get something new in there and it lasted 100 more years, that would be pretty outstanding. Right now, there are two inlets on Main Street that discharge into open ditches and then are carried south of town, through the town, and then out into adjacent fields. The existing pipes are undersized, severely corroded, plugged with sediment, and collapsed in several places. The periodic flooding has damaged the Main Street, the pavement on Main Street significantly. And we have a lot of people coming through town on Highway 87 between Great Falls and Havre, and it really detracts rather than attracts people into our business district as they travel through town. Our proposed project would correct all these deficiencies, but can only be accomplished with your support. Our user rates are currently at 150% of the target rate, and we recently increased them to fund improvements to our water distribution system to comply with DEQ requirements. Execution of this project will result in above and below ground improvements to our stormwater system to effectively collect and discharge stormwater from large precipitation events and spring thaws. The new concrete and the new inlets will allow us to continue improving our business district for both visitors and residents, and will improve the safety of people even trying to get across Main Street without concerns relative to flooding or icy streets and sidewalks. The replacement of our trunk mains and regraded ditches will ensure our stormwater is quickly carried away from our Main Street to discharge out of town without contaminating our groundwater or well water or causing issues downstream. As was mentioned, the total cost of the project is just under $1,969,000. The part we are requesting from TSEP is $484,000. We're also requesting money from RRGL and are prepared to acquire a loan for the remaining amount so that we can ensure completion of the project and ongoing safety and health of our community. We make this request both humbly because we know we need it and we're at your disposal, but we do so gratefully as well. We would like to complete this project with your assistance, and I want to thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming in here to talk with us about your project here today. I believe we have Susan as well. Susan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
We can indeed. Thank you very much. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Hopkins and members of the committee. My name is Susan Brurud, B-R-U-R-U-D, with Bear Paw Development. I wanted to add my testimony to that of Councilman Jesperson, asking for your support of the Big Sandy Stormwater Project. As he mentioned, this project was late when the town was originally developed and graded by residents in the early 1900s. And Big Sandy has experienced serious flooding in their Main Street area for many years. According to our preliminary engineering report, approximately 29 acres of stormwater directly drain onto Johannes Avenue, otherwise known as Main Street in Big Sandy. Businesses on the north side have been particularly impacted, such as City Hall, the post office, and the local grocery store. And as Councilman Jesperson said, often water will flow under the door jams. Depending on the time of year, that could lead to ice flows into the businesses. It's a major concern for safety of the public, as well as accessing those establishments, causing damage to the doors, door jams, and sidewalks from the freeze-thaw process. In addition, the unmanaged stormwater results in sheet flowing of water, carrying debris including sediment, oil, chemicals, pesticides, and other debris from the streets and sidewalks in the town to the outlet in a field southwest of town. Unmanaged stormwater impacts the area watershed, including Big Sandy Creek, which is a tributary to the Milk River that provides the main source of drinking water for several municipalities such as Havre, Chinook, and Harlem. These pollutants negatively impact area habitat and water quality and is a concern to both Big Sandy citizens as well as other communities that draw from the Milk River as their main water supply. Big Sandy is a small community of approximately 593 people with a median household income of only $36,607 and an LMI of 54.62%. Their user rates are currently at 150% of the target rate. This is a very important project for the town of Big Sandy, and this community would not be able to address these much needed repairs without assistance. And we thank TSEP, RRGL, and SRF for providing funding for projects such as this that could not be managed by a community of this size alone. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. And with that, I don't see any other hands raised online, so we would go to questions, comments from members of the committee. Seeing none, I'd like to thank you, Counselor, as well as Susan, for coming in to talk to us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And with that, I think we are good to move on to the next project.
Next up is the City of East Helena. This project ranked number 29 for TSEP in House Bill 14 and number 35 for RRGL in House Bill 6. Information can be found on page 146 of the TSEP handout and page 55 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of rehabilitating over a mile of sewer main, including manholes, and installing a new bar screen and grit removal system at the wastewater treatment plant. East Helena is requesting $625,000 from TSEP, and the total project cost is approximately $5.1 million. And Mr. Chairman, James Schell would like to testify on behalf of East Helena today.
And James, are you with us?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
We can indeed, sir. Please go ahead.
Brilliant. Thank you, Chairman Hopkins, committee members, for taking the time out today. For the record, my name is James Schell. I'm the mayor of the city of East Helena, and my surname is spelled S-C-H-E-L-L. And as the project overview explained, this is for upgrades to our wastewater system. Our system is aging, and the infiltration is causing flow problems at the plant. We currently can't make the most out of our plant. A little bit of history of East Helena. Beginning of the last decade, around 2009, 2010, the DEQ targeted East Helena as we outfall into Prickly Bear Creek for metals concentration. At that time, the city put in, commissioned, and currently runs the only metals removal plant in the state. It's a very high-tech plant, and we take a lot of pride in it. And of course, that upgrade to our system caused significant increases to our residents' rates, $66.40. The growth in East Helena in the last couple years, a couple subdivisions coming in, really getting prepared for the future. These INI problems with infiltration, of course, environmental concerns at this point with those infiltrations, as well as upgrades to the plant back in 2003 when the plant was originally designed. The BIOS plant, it was designed for minimum capacity, and those equipment additions that were also mentioned in the project overview are really important to us. And those improvements, if they're not done, could also cause serious, significant environmental problems. So we thank you for taking the time. A lot of projects you guys have listened to. The City of East Helena also wants to thank everybody, DNRC, DEQ. It's just great to work with these folks from the state. And again, want to thank you guys for taking the time, and I'll be available for any questions.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. With that, I do not see any other hands up to testify on the project. I would go to questions, comments from members of the committee. I am not seeing any. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I would thank you very much once again for coming to talk to us. We appreciate your time as always.
You guys have a great day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You as well. And with that, I believe that we are good to move on.
The next project is for the town of Winnett. This project ranked number 30 for TSEP in House Bill 14 and received RRGL funding in 2019. Information can be found on page 162 of the TSEP handout. This project consists of rehabilitating the existing sewage lagoons and collection system. Winnett is requesting $625,000 from TSEP, and the total project cost is a little bit over $2 million. And We received information that Mayor Kim Jensen would testify today virtually, but I don't see her or him. Oh, looks like Laura's coming to the top. I guess maybe Laura would like to testify for Winnet.
I do see Laura there really fast before we go on to that. And I just wanted to ask members, did you understand most of what Rachel just said? I know it was cutting in and out a little bit, but I think we can probably skip having her repeat anything, unless members were not able to. Okay, perfect. With that, I think that we would go ahead and go on to Laura. Are you there with us?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Laura Nolan, N-O-W-L-I-N. I'm the coordinator for the Musselshell Watershed Coalition. And I do know that Kim plans to be on. She might be on later. She also is a teacher, and so she probably is scheduled in the next 15 minutes. The Watershed Coalition, would like to go on record as supporting this project for the same reasons as the other projects. Winnet is also one of our community centers in the watershed that's serving not only the town of Winnet residents, but the area residents as well. I actually live on a ranch north of Winnet, so Winnet is where I go to for all of my basic services, and this project is really necessary for continued success in Winnet. But we have several projects that are upcoming: work on the city pool, building of a new community center, rehabbing of the county courthouse. All of these projects are reliant on this wastewater project as well. So thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And as a little bit of a rejoinder, even if somebody is not able to get on today to talk about their project, as long as time permits and I'm not abusing committee members' time, I think that we are fine having somebody, say, come in tomorrow morning and taking a brief little redo so that we could capture the testimony. So it's not a problem at all. I do not see any other hands online at the moment to testify on the project, so I would go to questions, comments for members of the committee. Not seeing any, I would thank you again, Laura, and I believe that for right now at least we are able or willing and ready to move on.
The next project is for the North Valley County Water and Sewer District near the town of St. Marie. This project ranked number 31 for TSEP in House Bill 14 and 51 for RRGL in House Bill 14. Information can be found on page 155 of the TSEP handout and page 71 of the RRGL handout. The project consists of abandoning approximately 3 miles of unused water main, repairing broken water meters, adding a mixer to the existing storage tank, and new sampling stations for disinfection monitoring. North Valley is requesting $625,000 from TSEP, and the total project cost is $1.5 million. And Mr. Chairman, they were unable to participate today, so they did send me a letter that they would like me to read into the record with your permission.
Please.
And this letter's from the North Valley County Water and Sewer District, and it's signed by Nick. Oh, I'm going to spell the last name, C-H-I-E-C-H-I. And it is, Dear Committee Members, I am pleased to provide this letter of support for the North Valley County Water and Sewer District in support of House Bill 14. The district has applied for a TSEP and DNRC grant to make improvements to the community's water system. A water system originally installed with the old Glasgow military base has aging asbestos cement water mains, which are leaking excessively and causing a strain on the district's manpower and financial resources. It is critical the district replace these failing water mains to continue to provide reliable water service to the residents of the St. Marie community. The St. Marie community is home to many retired military veterans, so keeping our rates reasonable is extremely important. Grant funds will be used to upgrade the water mains to the more reliable PVC water mains, which will be capable of providing adequate service and have a much longer useful life. TCEP and DNRC grant funding will help to keep user rates as affordable as possible for a community with a median household income of just $28,000. And our water and wastewater combined rates will be raised up to 134% of the target rate to complete this project. These objectives are consistent with the following objectives of Montana's TCEP program: assist communities in funding infrastructure projects which are detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare of Montana citizens, and to create a partnership between the state and local governments to make necessary public protections affordable. We appreciate your support of House Bill 14 and thank you for all your support of the TCEP and DNRC programs. We look forward to working with DNRC and the Department of Commerce to complete this important project. Please feel free to contact me if you have any questions.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And like I said, I don't see anybody else online with a hand raised looking to testify on the project. So with that, I'd quickly go to questions, comments from members of the committee. Not seeing any. I would just say thank you very much for reading the testimony onto the record for us. And I believe that was our last project for the day, if I am not mistaken. Does that sound about right to everybody else?
Yes.
Richard, I see you plugging in there. Okay, yeah, I think that sounds about right. So one other thing I was looking to get information for the committee-wise, and Kathy can correct me, I think, on the direction that I'm going here. But I was looking for a non-compliance list for water or wastewater projects from the DEQ. Somebody feel like they could help me out with that? Kathy, if you were trying to talk, you were muted.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. So that's a request that has typically been met for you by the Department of Environmental Quality.
Kathy, really fast, don't mean to cut you off, but whoever we have sharing screen, could we go ahead and take that down so we could see who's talking for the other committee members here in the room? Thank you kindly. Please continue, Kathy.
So that's a request that comes through the Department of Environmental Quality. They do those assessments, and they go out and they look at all the water and wastewater systems. And then, you know, you've been hearing about various systems that are out of compliance. And in the past, we've gotten a full list of those that are currently out of compliance, at least as of their last checks of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think committee would be looking to capture that information if at all possible. Outside of that, committee members, do we have any questions, comments for the good of the order, as it were? We're going to wrap up here in a second. Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman.
Kathy, go ahead.
Can I also interrupt you? I wanted to share with you a list of acronyms and abbreviations and where you as the subcommittee members can find it in our virtual binder. Could I do that?
You absolutely can.
Thank you. Okay. So can you see our virtual binder, Mr. Chairman?
We can indeed.
So this is the main page of our binder. And if you go to the tab D, materials, you will find a link to an Excel file called acronyms and abbreviations. If you click on that, what happens is it's going to open up an Excel file. And you'll see it down in the left-hand corner of your screen, and that's where you have to click. I'm going to bring this over to this screen. Can you see this Excel file, Mr. Chairman?
We do not see it yet.
I'm going to have to stop sharing and then share again. So give me just a sec.
Well, that's
because I opened up a different document.
That's no problem.
Okay, and so this is what it looks like.
And that we can see that one.
Yeah. So we had a lot of acronyms go into especially the funding of these projects, you know, and so they're used real heavily. And I think there was a question today on RD. What is RD?
Hey, Kathy.
And so what's...
Just to cut you off for a brief second there, for the purposes of folks who might be looking at this on the televisions or what have you, you mind going ahead and increasing the overall size for the
sure.
Excel sheet that you're currently
I'm
looking
sorry.
At?
Sorry.
You're fine. Of course
I will. You know, it looks really just fine to me, but I know not to you.
Yeah, give it a little bit of distance and it gets a bit smaller. Representative Hamilton, did you have something before we have Kathy continue?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Kathy, I I've been communicating back and forth about this. I am looking at the miscellaneous file folder or tab in our virtual binder, and that list of acronyms which pops up there, or there's a link to acronyms, mine doesn't look at all like what you're showing us. So
okay.
Am I in the wrong place?
Yeah, so... Just for your information, that's a list of acronyms that is more associated with the House Bill 2 budget. And that's really was put out there for all subcommittees. But on our website, on our virtual binder, on the materials tab, you will find this one.
Okay, I found it now. Thank you.
All right, please Welcome. Continue, Kathy.
And so I left this in spreadsheet form so that you can, you know, this is a very long list. And so say you're looking for what does RD mean, you can just, in the filter box, you know, you can sort this workbook and filter this workbook and get to your acronym or abbreviation very quickly. And so there you see it, RD, U.S. DA Rural Development Program. You also asked about what we call WERDA. So you can sort on WERDA, or filter on WERDA, and there it is right there. So that's out there. I hope it helps you, and I hope you have fun messing around with it. It also has all of our program abbreviations, and I hope that will help all you subcommittee members to be able to find things that are being referenced in our work.
Absolutely. And who doesn't have fun with abbreviations from the legislature?
Yes.
Good times for the whole family. With that, not just from Kathy, but from all of our members joining us on Zoom, is there anything else for the committee before we break up work for the day? I am seeing no hands being raised, nor individuals unmuting themselves. With that, is there anything else from committee members?
Oh. Whoop. Mr. Chairman, Kim Jensen has joined us, who is going to speak about Winnet.
Oh, okay. Let's go ahead and grab that then really fast. I'm not seeing it on my end. Oh, there we go. Kim, can you hear us? Or do we have Jim or Kim Jensen coming in?
Kim.
I see they both got...
I hit the wrong button.
That's no problem. Go right ahead, please.
Okay, can you guys hear me now?
We can indeed.
Okay. All right, right. I was going to talk to you guys about our wastewater project we've been working on. We've actually been working on it since 2010. And at this point, we have secured funding from CDBG and RRGL, and we are hoping to be able to use that TSEP grant to close the window for us on what we would have to ask of our users. We are a pretty small town. We only have 130 people right now that are on our water and sewer system. And so the cost of this large of a project, because we're over $2 million, is a lot for that small of a group of people to have to pay for. And yet we feel it's incredibly important for our town that we do this to protect our natural resources and to make it possible for us to grow. And so we are looking for this TSEP funding to help us to be able to finally get this project shovel ready and be able to make these improvements to our community.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Kim. I would really fast check once again for any questions or comments from members of the committee. I am not seeing any, so I would just say thank you very much for joining us. We are glad we were able to get your testimony in before end of business here today. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely. And with that, members, unless there is something else from our membership online, I will just close up by saying that we will be in here tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. to continue along with our House Bill 6, 11, 14 projects. I believe tomorrow will also be our general walkthrough and breakdown of RRGL in general. So with that, unless there's anything else for the good of the order, long-range planning, we'll adjourn until 8:30 tomorrow morning. We stand adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, all.
Thank you all.